Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Kazia Luckett. She is a positive psychologist, speaker, and author. Kazia, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much, Christopher. It's lovely to be here.
As we said prior to this podcast starting, so much of life is about understanding things. And the way you understand things is through science, why people study it. And in your case, you work with highly successful people by reframing their brains with mind conditioning therapy. So I always love the backstory, the origin story. First of all, why did you choose to dive into this world of positivity, but based on science?
Well, my background is science. I worked for pharmaceutical companies for very many years in the field of vaccinations and cardiology, so quite different from what I'm doing now. And I had a previous company, ended up burning out, and somebody's kind of post popped up on Facebook about positive psychology, and we were getting ready to relocate to Barcelona at the time. And I jumped on, found that there was only 11 places in the world that did a master's in positive psychology. And it was a science master, you know, based science-based master's. And hey presto, I think within 3 days I had signed, had my interview and was starting the course. But I love the fact that they put science behind the woo-woo, because a lot of people being positive is so woo-woo.
Yeah, especially in the States. And it's just you being English and saying woo, it just sounds cool. But that's a side note. Now, I love the fact that when you're describing, because I'm a words guy, I'm a speaker, I'm a writer, I'm an author, I'm a publisher, right? So when I look at how you wrote about what you do, so for instance, on the LinkedIn profile, you say, people come to me with secrets, lots of them. What does that mean?
Well, most, because I work with highly successful people, there's this premise that once you reach a certain level, that you obviously don't have, you know, you don't have any problems, whether, you know, you've made your first 10 million or whether you're like at the top of the corporate ladder. There is this assumption that if they're there, that they no longer have any problems. You know, they don't worry about any of the things that normal people, quote unquote, worry about. And so when successful people come to me, oftentimes it does feel like a bit of a secret. It is a case of, do you know what, actually, there are some fears or limitations or belief systems that I still have that are stopping me from reaching where I really want to go. And most of them want to blast through that glass ceiling. They've reached a plateau somewhere along the line. And it's just about uncovering those secrets. And 9 times out of 10, they tend to be some form of experience that they've gone through, that they have, when they've stored that memory in their brain, they've stored it in a slightly incorrect way, and it's holding them back from what it is they truly desire.
Now, and so for our listeners, in case our listeners are entrepreneurs, executives, speaker, other coaches, and sometimes they want to work with people that are quite affluent. And I remember many years ago, because I wrote this book on networking with billionaires and executives, and many years ago when people asked me about, you know, how do you work with these people, because I didn't grow up with any money. And it's like, you really have to understand there really is a different level, not in terms of human value, but in terms of understanding life. Meaning, there's this one gentleman, family office, his family owns, he's worth a few hundred million dollars. And then at one point, he wasn't worth a few hundred million dollars. So he was shocked because he had to go through TSA in the States because he would always fly private. Now, I'm telling this to our listeners because at the end of the day, everyone has problems, perceived problems or issues, but ultimately you, Kazia, understand that. And relative to what you do and who you do it for, it's also, they might have a problem that we might think is so trivial, but that's their life and they choose to share it with you because you've built up this rapport. Now, I'm curious, when you talk about reframing, can you give us a specific example of a client you've worked with where he or she was at this point, you were able to work with them, and now they're like, just be based on your reframing and understanding, how do they improve their lives?
It's a difficult one because obviously each client is individual, and it would mean delving into bits of their history that are obviously private. And as a psychologist, I have that client confidentiality. But they all go through various experiences that they've put in their brain in the, not in the wrong way, because there isn't necessarily a right or a wrong way, but they've tagged it with something that actually holds them back. And if you imagine that 50% of your memories are nothing more than fabricated stories, you can start to see how some of the things that we tell ourselves and some of the things that we believe to be true about ourselves in actual fact are nothing but lies. And there's a phenomenal psychologist out there called Elizabeth Loftus, and she did a whole lot of studies on false memory implantation. And she had managed to convince individuals through questioning, there wasn't any hypnosis or any woo-woo stuff sitting behind it, that they had been lost in a mall. She also convinced in a next study that they were allergic to white wine and eggs, and that if they ate it, they would be sick. And I mean, personally, I think if she'd done it for chocolate cake, she would have made millions. But she managed to kind of work with people. And my understanding was that if you could do this for something that was completely untrue, what happens if we unpicked the memories that were holding people back? And they personally put a positive slant on it. They personally put into that memory, and then when they put it back into their brain, they put it in such a way that it become an empowerment tool rather than a disempowering tool. And that's basically what mind conditioning therapy is. Let's go back to the basics, because a lot of these memories are from childhood and we're putting childhood logic around them. And with the best will in the world, if we put adult logic around it, we can see logically it doesn't make sense, and therefore we can discard it and move on.
And that's so profound, Cassia, because really, sometimes, let's say I was bullied a lot as a kid, but even if I wasn't bullied a lot as a kid, but I just kept saying I was bullied a lot as a kid, I'm just constantly reminding myself of these memories of me being a kid, and at 6 years old, someone just punched me in the face, you know. But a lot of us, when I talk about people, because I coach for a living to some degree, and they're always saying, oh, when I was this and when I, but they keep reminding themselves of these memories. And so are there basic things? Of course, it's much more involved than that, but are there basic things that we can all do each day to start at least having an awareness of our memories, or any exercises or books that you suggest that we read?
I mean, I think it's beautiful that you've picked up on the language, because the internal dialogue that we have on a day-to-day basis influences what we do out there. And if you think that 95% of your behaviors, emotions, and actions are subconsciously programmed by the time you're 35, most people are living Groundhog Day on a day-by-day basis. It's kind of like they're living on autopilot. So those stories, I too was bullied as a teenager, and I reframed my story. So for example, I just looked at it and said, yes, I was bullied. Yes, it was horrible. I mean, I don't want anybody to dispute those emotions that have come up, because you do need to process them. But I also chose to reframe it. And the reframe that I put around it was, at the time I was a 14-year-old girl, the others were 14-year-old girls. They too were trying to find their place in this world. And for them at that moment in time, and maybe that was a family upbringing, maybe it was lack of education, they believed that bullying and, you know, picking on one individual made them feel a certain way and put them in a certain social standing. And when I started to look at it from that perspective, actually I felt pity for the people that bullied me, for the people that, you know, pinned me up against a wall and harassed me on a day-to-day basis. And it meant that my healing came about a lot quicker. So I think that the stories that we choose, and we will choose different stories depending on who we're talking about, you know, talking to. If you think about going down to, I don't know, the pub, obviously you don't necessarily have pubs in the States, you're going down to the pub with your friends, you're going to tell a different story than if you were talking to your boss. So we adapt and mold our stories depending on who we're talking to. So we can adapt and mold it for ourselves so it becomes empowering rather than disempowering.
I love that. And there's no foo-foo about that. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because again, it is so profound as you're sharing what you do as an expertise. I see that in my life many, many times. So thank you so much for being on our podcast. How can our guests connect and stay in touch with you?
The easiest way is kazialuckett.com, or they can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn or even Instagram, all under the same name.
Kazia, thank you so much for bringing your positivity to our guests around the world. Have a great day.
and you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christophakai.com to learn more.